Have you ever held on to an idea, an opinion? In fact, we were talking about this in confirmation class this evening. That's why I switched this. When one of the kids said, an opinion is not a lie. Is that true? An opinion is not a lie. It's your opinion. But an opinion can be a lie. That's what we forget. So hear the word of God, which is not an opinion, but is the truth from Ephesians. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, for you give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good, for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. There is an opinion what Christmas is. Right? It is shopping. It is food. It is sweets. It is going over your budget. It is getting together and partying because you have a reason to party. It is that and much more if you just ask the people. The problem with that is it has nothing to do with Christ. But if you look how people fill their calendars right after Thanksgiving with the Black Friday, Black Monday, you know, whatever color you want to put on the rest of the days, it seems to be consuming. The letter to the Ephesians, the people at Ephesus, pointed out to us long ago that they too had their opinions. They had a definition of what was right and what was wrong, what it meant to be religious, what it meant to be faithful to God, or what it meant to be a serious follower, or what it meant just to, was it enough just to know Jesus? But you could do anything else you wanted. It wasn't new, that kind of thinking. God sent the forerunner, John the Baptist. He was just a little older than Jesus. And there he was, the messenger, prepare the way of the Lord. And he was to call out to the world to stop the distractions. That we would focus. How many distractions do you have in your life? What do you think? Short list, long list? Gwen and I don't often go out to eat, but my pet peeve has gotten worse. People sit in the restaurant with their cell phone, and the person across from them has their cell phone. And then if they really want to be showy, they got a bigger cell phone and earbuds. And then if they really want to be showy, they've got the brand new iPad Pro. Have you seen it? If you all have one and don't want it. You know, and we all talk about what our gizmos do. We can text, message, internet, shop. Amazon has an app. Google has their app. You know, and on the list goes. And what we have found in our world today is we are distracted. And we do this not only in the restaurant, we do it while driving. It's insane, isn't it? You've seen it. I've seen it. People driving along, and they got that look like this, you know, like they're a bobblehead, you know, and then all of a sudden they realize they got to hit the brake. It's nuts. But ever before cell phones and way before technology, we have started this other distraction called presence. Christmas was never about shopping. Do you know why? Because we would never look to buy what we really needed, and what we really needed we couldn't afford. True? We're sinful by nature. I mean, who wants the righteousness of God? That's expensive. You know, I can't imagine what credit card that would take. Platinum, gold, silver, titanium, I don't know. But I realize, according to the scriptures, we can't afford it. It was priceless. John the Baptist out in the wilderness had people coming out looking for the present. He was the forerunner. They wanted to know if he was the Messiah. He had to tell them no. And they were looking for the Messiah. And John said, "What are you doing out here?" And he even called them a brood of vipers. They came looking, but they came with the wrong heart. They came looking, but it wasn't the present of Jesus that they wanted. They wanted something else. They wanted something that would affirm their righteousness. They wanted something that would say, "You look marvelous." Remember, like Saturday Night Live from long ago? That dates me, doesn't it? You know, "You are fantastic," you know? And they wanted to be affirmed in a way that would say, "You don't need the present." And so John the Baptist called them a brood of vipers. But there were those that by the message of the gospel, they went looking. They were followers of John the Baptist. And John sent them to Jesus. And in the scriptures, it tells us that, you know, are you the one, or are we to look for another? And in one part of scripture, it even tells us, Jesus says, "Well, what do you see?" In other words, is Jesus Christ fulfilling the list that God established? Not man. But God says, if you're going to look for the Messiah, look for the one who heals the blind, the lame, the leper, raises the dead. What is it that you see? What's on the list? And so the disciples stayed with Jesus. And he showed them. He didn't have a place to lay. He really didn't have a home or a roof over his head. This is the Son of God who wasn't looking to gather presents. He was looking to be the present. Christmas is about what God gives. And out of that gift, we give. Our hearts are now alive in Christ. And therefore, what we see as our inventory changes. Because sometimes we look at our lives and we don't think we have anything. I don't know about you, but being one of six kids, we would go to the kitchen. "Mom, what's to eat?" And we'd open up the fridge. There was food. We'd shut the door and go, "Nothing." You know? She didn't keep the Oreos in the fridge. You understand? We look at the things that Christ offers us in himself as a gift, and we go, no, that's not on my list. I don't want humility. I don't want sacrifice. I don't want service. I don't want self-denial. I don't want... But yet, isn't that what he brings? And because we stink at it, he did it for us. He went the way of the cross. Indeed, Christmas is an opportunity to again refocus by the power of faith to come back to the present that changes everything. The present of God. And to do that, that means we got to let go of a lot of the things that we think are the best presents ever. And as we kind of tune out the things of the world, you know, it's really terrible that when the person's favorite Christian hymn is Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer. You know, it's really terrible that how come we didn't sing in church on Christmas Eve, I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Or, you know, it's all the other trash that we bring in that diminishes and it takes away from us being present in Christ, to being there, head to toe, inside and out. John the Baptist offered the statement of why we have trouble being there. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's us. We're the distracted. We're the wandering mind. I'm not going to ask you from the time I started to right now how many times your mind went elsewhere. We're the ones that have trouble staying on course. We start one thing, we do another, we do another, we do another and another. And when we do that, nothing gets done. When we do that as Christmas, then our worship becomes less. Our prayer becomes short, if not absent. Our joy is becoming fading because we have redefined what it means. For Christmas is about present. Present in Christ, as in alive in Christ, instead of presence as shopping, gift wrapped, homemade, or otherwise. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin, who came, who was present on this earth, to be present on the cross. To not stay present in the tomb, for he is risen. And to prepare a place for us, that we would be present with him in his kingdom forever. You can have a remarkable Christmas without spending a dime, blowing your budget, adding stress. Because it simply begins and continues living in Christ. Amen.